That winter, the great waves of ice began their first assault on the mountains, attacking from north and south. The foothills were overwhelmed in the first onslaught, and the glaciers ground them into dust. But the mountains stood firm, and when the summer came, the ice retreated for a while. So, winter after winter, the battle continued, and the roar of the avalanches, the grinding of rock, and the explosions of splintered ice filled the air with tumult. No war of man's had been fiercer, nor had engulfed the globe more completely than this. Until at last, the tidal waves of ice began to subside, and to creep slowly down the flanks of the mountains they had never quite subdued, though the valleys and passes were still firmly in their grip. It was stalemate. The glaciers had met their match. But their defeat was too late to be of any use to man. So the centuries passed. And presently, there happened something that must occur once at least in the history of every world in the universe, no matter how remote and lonely it may be. The ship from Venus came 5,000 years too late, but its crew knew nothing of this. While still many millions of miles away, the telescopes had seen the great shroud of ice that made Earth the most brilliant object in the sky next to the sun itself. Here and there, the dazzling sheet was marred by black specks that revealed the presence of almost buried mountains. That was all. The rolling oceans, the plains and forests, the deserts and lakes, all that had been the world of man was sealed beneath the ice, perhaps forever. The ship closed into Earth and established an orbit less than 1,000 miles distant. For 5 days it circled the planet, while cameras recorded all that was left to view, and 100 instruments gathered information that would give the Venusian scientists many years of work. An actual landing was not intended, there seemed little purpose in it. But on the 6th day, the picture changed. A panoramic monitor, driven to the limit of its amplification, detected the dying radiation of the 5,000-years-old beacon. Through all the centuries, it had been sending out its signals with ever-failing strength as its radioactive heart steadily weakened. The monitor locked on the beacon frequency. In the control room, a bell clamored for attention. A little later, the Venusian ship broke free from its orbit and slanted down towards Earth, towards a range of mountains that still towered proudly above the ice, and to a cairn of gray stones that the years had scarcely touched. The great disk of the sun blazed fiercely in a sky no longer veiled with mist, for the clouds that had once hidden Venus had now completely gone. Whatever force had caused the change in the sun's radiation had doomed one civilization, but given birth to another. Less than 5,000 years before, the half-savage people of Venus had seen sun and stars for the first time. Just as the science of Earth had begun with astronomy, so had that of Venus, and on the warm, rich world that man had never seen, progress had been incredibly rapid. Perhaps the Venusians had been lucky. They never knew the Dark Age that held man enchained for 1,000 years. They missed the long detour into chemistry and mechanics, but came at once to the more fundamental laws of radiation physics. In the time that man had taken to progress from the pyramids to the rocket-propelled spaceship, the Venusians had passed from the discovery of agriculture to anti-gravity itself, the ultimate secret that man had never learned. The warm ocean that still bore most of the young planet's life rolled its breakers languidly against the sandy shore. So new was this continent that the very sands were coarse and gritty. There had not yet been time enough for the sea to wear them smooth. The scientists lay half in the water, their beautiful reptilian bodies gleaming in the sunlight. The greatest minds of Venus had gathered on this shore from all the islands of the planet. What they were going to hear they did not know yet, except that it concerned the Third World and the mysterious race that had peopled it before the coming of the ice. The historian was standing on the land, for the instruments he wished to use had no love of water. By his side was a large machine which attracted many curious glances from his colleagues. It was clearly concerned with optics, for a lens system projected from it toward a screen of white material a dozen yards away. The historian began to speak. Briefly, he recapitulated what little had been discovered concerning the third planet and its people. He mentioned the centuries of fruitless research that had failed to interpret a single word of the writings of Earth. The planet had been inhabited by a race of great technical ability. That, at least, was proved by the few pieces of machinery that had been found in the cairn upon the mountain. "We do not know why so advanced a civilization came to an end. Almost certainly, it had sufficient knowledge to survive an ice age. There must have been some other factor of which we know nothing. Possibly disease or racial degeneration may have been responsible. It has even been suggested that the tribal conflicts endemic to our own species in prehistoric times may have continued on the third planet after the coming of technology. Some philosophers maintain that knowledge of machinery does not necessarily imply a high degree of civilization, and it is, theoretically, possible to have wars in a society possessing mechanical power, flight, and even radio. Such a conception is very alien to our thoughts, but we must admit its possibility. It would certainly account for the downfall of the lost race. It has always been assumed that we should never know anything of the physical form of the creatures who lived on Planet 3. For centuries, our artists have been depicting scenes from the history of the dead world, peopling it with all manner of fantastic beings. Most of these creations have resembled us more or less closely, though it has often been pointed out that because we are reptiles, it does not follow that all intelligent life must necessarily be reptilian. We now know the answer to one of the most baffling problems of history. At last, after 500 years of research, we have discovered the exact form and nature of the ruling life on the third planet.